This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
The Charlottesville Planning Commission has decided not to consider a permit system to regulate yard sales. Instead, the commission has directed zoning officials to use other means to stop people from operating semi-permanent sales in their yard. The decision came following a 55-minute discussion held at a Planning Commission work session on September 22, 2009. Charlottesville Tomorrow's recording begins with a staff report from Zoning Inspector Craig Fabio.
Well, I just now returned from the Commissioner of the Revenue's office and spoke with Mr. Richards on the phone, but trying to address Mr. Emery's concerns today, I do have a ruling here from the I have an opinion here from the tax commissioner. So, if anybody would like to read that, it's a little much for me, but I do have an opinion regarding the taxation. But I also found some information that Mr. Richards was able to pull. This was presented to council about 32 years ago. There's a letter regarding yard sales from November 15th, 1975. Stating that yard sales have become a problem and people are selling goods and running a business. Council apparently turned this down. It went to council. I don't have any documentation about it going to council. I was just now able to meet with Mr. Richards over the phone and go through the folder. I couldn't leave the office with it, but it's about 2 inches thick downstairs, and I'm definitely going to read through it again no matter what this determination here is. But back to where we were. After our last meetings, I did a little more research. I think everyone has my report. I am still new to this, so I'm not entirely sure what I need to present here, but leaving our last meeting, I was sort of convinced that perhaps this isn't the right thing for Charlottesville. I went through my report, and by the time I finished, I had convinced myself that, indeed, this is still something that makes sense. So I have recommendations in here. If it doesn't go through, which it didn't 30 years ago, it doesn't go through. So I'm not entirely sure what else I need to do here, being very new.
How about giving an overview of what was done between the July work session or July initiation and today?
Absolutely. I read through. Well, start with yard sales because the recommendation from the Planning Commission was to look into the yard sale permits a little further and also look into the friendly amendment that Ms. Lewis added regarding temporary outdoor sales. Temporary outdoor sales, I can move out of the way here with, we are, as a department, Neighborhood Development, is going through the use matrix and trying to bring together some things that don't really make sense. The Cherry Avenue corridor was brought up in that previous meeting, and that's a perfect example. Cherry Avenue in the use matrix and the allowable uses do not fit anywhere with the rest of the city. The helipad is constantly brought up as something, so we're going through the use matrix and we're going to see what areas may be appropriate for outdoor sales. So we're handling that on that matter. So hopefully that the temporary outdoor sales will be addressed there. As far as the yard sales, I've gone through many ordinances from many localities, probably about five in Virginia, and then some from throughout the country. And I have found that, generally speaking, when a community does have a yard sale permit, it's very similar to what I had initially proposed. Limit to a number of days, limits on signage, and limits to the length of each physical sale. But otherwise, pretty straightforward. With I didn't find a whole lot more other than several localities do this. And additionally, I've had many phone calls since that last meeting. It was in the media. And now we have probably one, it's died down now, but right after that I was getting 1 to 2 phone calls a week with people asking, do I need a permit? No, you don't need a permit. We are considering it. And if we do, it's only for this, this, and this, and it won't restrict you in any way. And I've had no negative feedback from there. There's plenty of negative feedback on the message boards and the blogs after it was in the hook in the Seaville, but I've heard nothing negative from people calling in. But they have had no problem calling in and asking. I heard there might be a permit. What do you think?
So you specifically reflected back to them, how would you feel if there were a
permit
system?
I explained that we are in the proposal stages. It may or may not happen. The theory is, the proposal that I'm making is 2 to 3 yard sales per year, at most a possible $5 permit fee, just something administrative. And we're explaining to them that we're not trying to cut down on your family yard sale. This is to help us regulate some other areas. And I had nothing negative. Everybody sounded like it was a great idea.
Does anyone else have questions for Craig?
Craig, is a temporary outdoor sale defined anywhere in the zoning ordinance? I mean, I found a listing of it. What's T stand for in the zoning metrics? Is that
it's a temporary
use permit? Mm-hmm. I mean, I found a listing for it under, in the zoning metrics under, I guess, B2 and B3 as an allowable with a temporary permit.
It's in five zones, I believe. Oh, it's right. Allowed. It's B1, B2, Central City, urban, and highway. So it's essentially those pockets of essentially those pockets of the business districts, which most of the time they don't have any kind of traffic anymore. When people come in and ask, for example, where can I set up my mobile car wash? We determined that to be a temporary outdoor sale. And there's quite a few locations on 29, but you have to get urban and highway, I believe, is 29, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Most of 29 within the city limits allows for temporary outdoor sales. Uh-huh. But you have to have permission from the property owner. These gentlemen that were doing the car wash had permission to set up in Barracks Road Shopping Center. And they were there for about 2 days and were told, no, this isn't going to work for us. And they were asked to move to another location. And they finally decided not to do their business because they couldn't find an appropriate location. It's very limited where you can do temporary outdoor sales. We're currently dealing with the owner of the lot on the corner of Long and East High, the former Free Bridge Auto Sales.
Uh-huh.
There's been a produce stand that's been set up there. Our determination is that's temporary outdoor sales. They need to have the temporary use permit, so we are working with the property owner to determine how he can go about that. And he said he uses his lot across the street for church sales, bank sales, all kinds of fundraising things, and he doesn't want to do anything illegal, so we're working with him to figure out if each individual needs it or not.
Right.
So...
Did Rich point out to you where the definition is?
Was there a definition here, Mr. Harris?
Temporary. No, I thought you were actually looking for the use matrix.
The allowable use matrix.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I do not believe there is a...
I had it turned to the temporary use permit section.
I do not believe that there is a definition of temporary or sales.
It's interesting. I would have never thought about the car wash thing.
The car wash, the produce stand.
Right.
Yeah. The gentleman that was selling canned goods next to the produce stand.
Right.
The temporary plant and carpet sales at the beginning of the school year.
It's great for us to
all of those are, but they've never been regulated.
Right.
Mincer's does the class rings out on the sidewalk there. probably the same thing, but that's city right of way, so that one's very different.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating to be able to benefit from your experience when you're up there and running and all this stuff and having to regulate it and talk to people.
It gets to what do we call this? What is this? So there is no definition for temporary outdoor sales.
So, and based on your experience, do you think there's any need to reach more broadly and regulate temporary outdoor sales as opposed to regulating yard sales? I mean, just to sort of address the larger enforcement issue that you're running into?
It is certainly a more widespread issue where temporary outdoor sales are popping up, especially the carpet sales. Right now I have a top of my list of letters is a business on Preston Avenue that's been putting out mattresses for sale.
Yeah.
And our determination is they would need a temporary use permit, which is permitted in that area. But the citizens seem to have more of a problem with the yard sale style because those are their neighbors, and that's a direct negative impact on their neighborhoods. Now, yeah, the first week school is back, we could probably find close to 100 not legal temporary outdoor sales. I just don't know that we have the manpower to address that.
Is it appropriate to me?
To be asking these sorts of questions now, or should I?
I don't
take
see
my
why
turn
not.
Or
this, what,
I mean,
this why
is
not?
The, we are,
I think
we are,
this is our opportunity to ask these kinds of questions.
We are going to be looking at this, the uses when we go through the matrix. So absolutely.
You know, I think for me, hearing just the bit of information you've shared since the beginning of this meeting very much makes me look anew at the whole question. And I think it might also make counsel look anew, as opposed to whatever action I took in 1975. I mean, regulating yard sales as sort of a part of a larger issue, I think, makes it politically and from a planning point of view just a lot more sensible thing to pursue. But that's just my take.
What's the fee for the temporary sales permit?
$250.
For how? What duration?
That is something that we were hoping to read. Mr. Broadhead and I were hoping to meet tomorrow to discuss it. We don't issue very many temporary use permits because by the time you find someone in violation, they're usually done.
Right.
And we don't do retroactive permitting. You were sorry you did this. You owe us $250. Wouldn't go very well. So I'm not entirely sure. I believe you have to specify. That's a really shitty issue. That these 21 days, not less than no more than 5 permits on the same parcel per calendar year. Each event should be separated by a period of not less than 21 consecutive days.
It's interesting to me, that idea of looking at the temporary outdoor sales and then trying to bring, sort of haul them into line a little bit with the estate tax code thing about, unfortunately, I remember it.
Occasional sales.
The occasional sales. To
hey, Mr. Richard suggested we get a legal opinion on that from the taxation board, not from...
Yeah, definitely. We've spoken at our retreat about how planning is an iterative process and you can't get it perfect right away, but the one of the things that sort of scares me about this is we write an ordinance about yard sales that maybe it will, and right now we don't really have a formal ordinance about yard sales, it might sort of open a Pandora's box. And I'd be more comfortable with tuning up or temporary outdoor sales stuff and taking the steps that you mentioned. And the last time, back in July, I think I I sort of sat here with steam coming out of my head and then finally burst out about, you know, 1958, you could hold this Charlottesville ordinance thing. But, you know, if we already have, you know, we already sort of address temporary outdoor sales, you know, that objection is removed. If we can make our code more elegant, which we know that, you know, Richard is the man there, and, you know, more sort of just cutting, but anyway. So,
I'm not really following you, Bill.
I'm sorry, nobody's following me?
Yeah. I think I actually do follow him, but if I could just, do you mind?
I don't mind, please.
I'm going to try to criticize what I think Craig Fabio's getting at here. This is not really looking to regulate temporary outdoor sales, but more what you might consider the permanent intermittent sale, the garage sales, the yard sale that keeps going on and on and on, not the one that's going, someone going out to sell fruit for a week or something like that. Am I correct in that?
Right. I think we do need to, after we've gotten into this thing with the lot on the corner, the Freebridge Auto Sales lot, and looking through the temporary use permit, certainly something that we need to look at while we're addressing the changes to the matrix, the corrections and the getting the matrix in line. Certainly something we need to look at there, but yeah, this is a very separate issue than yard sales. Temporary outdoor sales came together mostly because, for lack of a better definition, we were referring to the illegal continuous yard sales as temporary outdoor sales to give us something to use as enforcement. We determined that there were temporary outdoor sales which are not permitted in residential neighborhoods. That's how temporary outdoor sales were brought into this in the beginning. We determined that's what this is so that we could use that to regulate the residential neighborhood.
So how would you like us to approach guidance and sort of weighing in on this? I mean, it sounds to me like in some ways you're asking us to separate temporary outdoor sales from yard sales, deal with the yard sale question first, and then move on. I guess I'm a little unclear about how we're going to structure this conversation and what would be most useful to you.
We need a separate amendment to look at temporary outdoor sales or not, because of the friendly amendment, we could do them together?
Well, I mean, you have the option to do it together because of what you voted on as part of the discussion there. They are seen, at least in our eyes, as two separate kinds of items because they really affect two separate types of areas of the city generally. The temporary outdoor sales, we feel like we can work more with the zoning use matrix, which I will talk about a little bit more how that process is going to be going forward as we continue through the discussion. And so that's why at this point we've got mainly the yard sale permit question in front of you all. And this is really getting down to, do we want to continue this discussion or are we done with this discussion? And we don't want to take any action, and we're ready to move on to another item. So it's are we going to do it? Or are we not going to do it? If we're, you know, and then there's different paths.
Could I suggest a course of action? Perhaps a straw poll to start with. And if the question is off the table, we can move on. If not, we can keep talking about it. Yeah.
Can we do that in this venue? But before we do
it's
that,
not really
like
a
any other,
it's more
any
of
other,
just
I guess I may have a question. Not having been in, you know,
the
discussions early on when this was first brought up, and I missed the first few minutes because I couldn't figure out how to get into the locked building that we had here. Somebody took pity on me and let me in. But how serious of a problem is this whole yard sale issue? I guess that was... I'm reading through it. I saw that it seemed to be more of an issue around signage, but is there like just a rash of illegal yard sales that are coming up all the time that require us to do something about this, or is it just kind of like a nuisance that, you know, we're talking about?
Over the year and a half that I've been here, there have been approximately a dozen of these locations. Most of the people have been very understanding, and I didn't realize I was doing anything wrong. We have had to threaten suit and visit with police officers for two of the other ones. It seems like at the moment we have them all in compliance. though we're in September, and I'm not sure what's going to happen in April, May, when all of them kick back up. Signage is very secondary, but as I was reading through these items that I received from Mr. Richards at 4:45, I had to laugh because the bottom paragraph from Mr. Davis, the zoning inspector, states, "Each week I see the telephone poles throughout the city are being used to advertise these sales. I'm in the opinion that this is a violation of 28.6, which it's a different code section now, but again, secondary to the issue of these perpetual sales is signage, even 24 years ago.
Any other questions
before we sort of figure out whether
we want to go forward with this or not?
I was curious if Mr. Harris could paraphrase what he thought I was saying. I mean, I think I'm on to something here, man. But I can explain to my colleague, Mr. Rosen's wife.
I kind of lost track of it in the discussion. Okay. Give it another go, and I'll follow along.
Well, no, that's all right.
Were you going in the direction of the code is thicker and heavier than it used to be?
There's something in the code that already with a little tuning up can take care of this problem. And I think Virginia code, the tax code, we've got somebody who's run, you know, more than three sales a year and not collecting sales tax, they're breaking the law. I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
I haven't seen the tax code with regards to this yet, though. I don't know, you've got that opinion.
Is that within our purview? Because we're not a taxing authority.
Not a taxing authority, but if we're going to like try, we do want to try to conform our city ordinances to state code and not go against it. I think that might be your point.
Yeah. And, you know, if we could, one, get more retail sales tax, and two, you know, have a tool already that's going to shut down people doing more than three occasional sales a year. It doesn't seem that we really need to make our code heavier, particularly, I seem to be speaking here, particularly, you know, given that, like, that neighborhood development services doesn't have the 127 people that the police department has to go out and, you know, issue citations and zoning tickets or whatever. I mean, they're really strapped, and it seems like we've got a lot of code. I don't know, I hate to give more to have to.
I'll take a look at the opinion. You could be getting to the point where this might be for the taxing authority to take some action on, maybe State Department taxation finance.
Yeah, just make a telephone call to, you know, Virginia Department of Taxation, say, come on up here.
I can't imagine they'll be rolling the streets looking for yard sales on a Saturday.
Yeah.
No, but we're not talking about just the, you know, Dan's yard sale at his house. We're talking about, you know, people who are violating and they are resisting the efforts of the zoning administrator.
As far as this is the summary statement here, but in conclusion, the business professional and occupational license tax is a tax on the privilege of doing business. It is my opinion that a person who conducts an occasional yard sale on an irregular basis is not engaged in business as defined in the Virginia Code, therefore not subject to the BPOL tax. On the other hand, one who sets up a flea market beside the road or in a parking lot during most weekends in the spring, summer, and fall is engaged in business and is subject to the BPOL tax as provided in the local ordinance. So, we can tax them. However, circling back, two of these were brought to our attention by the Commissioner of the Revenue, who was trying to determine, are they operating this so that we can attempt to tax them. Right. And he has sent letters to the one that we, one of the two that we needed to visit with the police, and nothing ever came of it. You know, they denied that it was happening, and it took several weekend visits to, and actually a domestic call and a divorce proceeding to stop the sales from going on.
It sounds like, Bill, I think your point is actually meshing pretty well with what Craig's saying here. It comes down to the definition of whether or not this is a business or it is an occasional sale. And I think that's what Craig's trying to come up with a regulation for here, to decide, to make a distinction between an occasional yard sale that Ma and Pa are putting on as opposed to the guy who is making it his livelihood, making a business in a zone where he cannot do that.
I think the information that was provided provides a very good definition as a basis for what an occasional sale is. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't have to be reinventing any wheels there at all, because that's pretty straightforward from that standpoint.
And it would seem like we'd want our numbers to be compatible with those numbers.
Very logical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had one quick question for you before we sort of sample everyone's feelings. In your research of other localities, were there any others that actually required a permit?
Yes, most of them do.
Most of them require a permit.
Yeah, and those all of those things in my memo are pulled directly from those other localities.
And were most of those permits with a fee?
Yes. And one was $25. Most of them are $3 to $5.
Okay, so $3 to $25.
Yeah, but $25 was seemed like a very high-end California community, and $25 is because they didn't want yard sales. It seemed it was an intentional prohibitive cost based on the way I read it.
Okay. Good. Yes, Jason. Returning your volume.
I'm looking at page 3 of the staff memorandum and the question that the guidance the staff is seeking from us, which is further direction on the issue of yard sale permits prior to moving forward. And you've laid out a number of options, Craig, that you could continue studying. As I understand, bullet point number one is kind of option one, continue study. Option two, don't continue study. And if you continue study, you might appreciate some guidance on which of these possible factors might be appropriate for continued study for inclusion in the code. Just for myself, as a commissioner, based on what you've reported and the discussion that we've had, I'd say two things. First, I do think it makes sense. We're talking about two different uses, both of which we want to support in the city. One is people who want to use their house to have a yard sale every so often to sell their own personal goods. And the other is some type of temporary outdoor sale that's probably not at somebody's house that might happen somewhere else in a non-residential area, something like the occasional car washes that you're describing on Route 29. If I understand you correctly, those are two different types of uses, and the focus of this study is really more on the yard sale use right now. The use matrix for temporary outdoor sales would be a separate use. I want to clarify that that's a correct understanding first, so that's kind of a question. But with respect to, if they are two separate uses and we want to support both, with respect to the first use, the yard sales, I do think that it makes sense to define, to put some boundaries on what those are so that you don't have people using their house as a place of business. And I don't really care what language is used, but I do think getting some language in place that constrains what is possible but allows yard sales to continue would be appropriate, so I'm inclined to say yes to option number one. And I think all of A through D are appropriate for continued study. Maybe option D, I think, it's the residential districts that make sense to me, but maybe some more study is required on allowable districts. So that's my feedback, but I'm curious about whether I'm understanding correctly that we're talking about two different uses, both of which we think we would want to support in the city.
I believe we are on the same page.
Okay.
Is everyone else on the same page and comfortable with what Jason has proposed?
Yes.
So why don't we do Dan's straw poll, looking at what Missy has put together, asking us for further direction. So I think the question is, one, do we want to continue with this, have staff move this forward for us, and if we do, what we would want to include? Dan?
I would be perfectly happy if we voted no, let's don't pursue this. It does seem to me to be, to a certain extent, an ordinance in search of a problem. Having said that, I actually would sort of take an opposite tack, and if we are going to continue to study the issue of yard sale permits, and we're looking at A through D, and I think they probably are all appropriate things to look at within the general scope of the study, and I agree with Jason that D is probably the one that's probably most easily solvable because primarily residential district, but perhaps not. I would actually like to see, if we are going to continue this, staff explore options for expanding A and B. Actually, there's no limit on A right now, but allowable signage. If is 34.104.5B the relevant code section?
Yes, by code.
According to Mr. Harris's matrix, or Mr. Harris's book, there is no 34.105. The signage is probably 11.05.
11.05 sounds. 34.104.
Yeah, Mr. Harris, something. I believe it's 11.05.
There's
temporary signs. Section 34.104.5B is temporary signs. No temporary signs should be located in the public right-of-way or in any required off-street parking space, driveway, alley, or fire lane, provided, however, that. Is that the... Have I been looking at the relevant code section, or is that something else?
You're at
10... 10.45. That's the best I could find. That's the closest thing I could find.
That's it.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's pretty straightforward.
So your thought is that it's already on the books?
Well, my thought is that it's on the books, but I think the majority of the commission, when we found out that this was illegal at our last meeting, were surprised, as were a number of citizens who I've talked to. Not that I've been out shopping the idea much, but just anyone who's had conversation, they're like, what? I'm allowed to put signs up telling people where your yard sale is, and actually don't, without really understanding the expense of policing it, I'm not quite sure that it really presents more negative an impact than a positive impact. It helps people wayfind to find the site of a use that we all, in theory, support. I'm wondering, if there isn't another way to look at the ordinance that would expand it and would put some provisions on what you'd be required to post on that sign if you posted a sign, such as your phone number,
the content of signs, you're not allowed to do any regulations on. You can regulate locations, you cannot regulate context.
We couldn't easily find people who violated. I don't know if we put like a 48-hour rule or something like that. You can have it on for a period of 48 consecutive hours or something like that, but then and you have to take it down. Sort of the way they do it at college campuses, when you post something, you have to have it down.
Well, and that's, you know,
that's on private property.
I mean, it's something that could be looked at and has been in some respects as well. We have to be very careful about not opening a door for temporary signs. Temporary signs are a lot more than yard sale signs. They're banners. They're billboards. They're
missing cats.
Yeah, missing animals and such. And expanding that opens doors that I don't know if we're interested in opening.
You talk about generally excluding signs on telephone poles, things like that.
That's already the law.
Right, you already found that section.
It's 1029.
Yeah, the main one says the ones that you just can't put up, and I think it's the first one in that section. If you want to try to allow this just for yard sale signs, going directly to what Missy said, that would be a content-based restriction or allowance, which you absolutely cannot do. And so you can do it for a yard sale, but not to advertise your DJ business. That you can't get into.
Okay. So you allow everything or allow nothing, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, in that case, I think I've changed my vote to let's not pursue it. That's
Mr. Harris, I could not hear your legal opinion. Could you restate that?
We were speaking about posting signs on public utility poles, things like that. We cannot make an exception just for yard sale signs to go on to those poles. It's either all or nothing. And what I didn't get to is that the utility poles are not necessarily the city's. They could be someone else's, a different utility. We can't even regulate those. So we have a general prohibition for any signs to go on to electric poles and Craig, you have the ordinance there. You can read that off.
It's actually 1029B is the most appropriate. That's what we generally use for regulation. And that is signs that create a safety hazard or are contrary to the general welfare are prohibited as follows. And that's where B1 is any sign that is nailed, tacked, blah, 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 any other manner attached, may be removed by the public authority.
I just have a question on that, which is, this is in some ways a silly moment in which to raise this, but at the same time maybe worth raising anyway, which is, this is one of those moments when I think we probably all shake our heads and say, why the heck do we create a society with laws that prevent us from doing the commonsensical thing? And I'm curious whether there's a way for us as a commission to record those instances so that we can somehow contribute to changing them. I mean, I think Dan's probably saying, well, I'll retract that suggestion because the kind of framework law is so nonsensical that our hands are tied, but is there a way for us to somehow note down the moments when we feel like, geez, our hands are really stupidly tied here, can we change this so that we can toss those changes in? Like, this seems like a really silly thing that we can't regulate based on a particular type of sign.
Oh, that would actually...
First Amendment.
Thank you, Missy. Yeah, that would be a constitutional issue that we... It's, that would require a change to the U.S. Constitution, which we can't really do. That's basically your speech right. You can't have a content-based restriction. You can have reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. So you can't say this kind of sign is okay and this sign isn't because of what's on it. You can regulate size, color, and things like that, so long as you're not getting into what the message is.
But we could specify locations where such
time, place,
signs,
manner.
Yes.
Correct. Which
but
is
then, as Missy said, then we would be going in a whole other direction mm-hmm. where we would be opening
you
up
could be
for
opening,
every
you know,
realtor.
We could have Subway advertising on every telephone pole in every neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Got yeah. junk.
Well, I know it's not recording, but the way in which we're interpreting the First Amendment is stupid. I mean, just noting it.
Duly noted.
And that at some point, I hope our democracy will find a way to pass the Supreme Court, for the Supreme Court to actually find an interpretation of the First Amendment that starts to provide some differentiation between commercial speech and other speech.
Actually, there is a differentiation in U.S. Supreme Court cases. Commercial speech is the least protected form of speech. Political speech being the most protected, commercial is on a lower rung.
So is there a way for us to interpret a yard sale as non-commercial, but a company putting up a little sign about their services as commercial?
I can't come up with a way to do it.
Aren't we already kind of stretching it by allowing people to advertise their yard sale on site, on the premises?
Signage is allowed. All signage is permitted on the physical site.
Yeah, and there's a limited in residential areas. You can have a one-by-one.
Right, for your home occupation. But since these are not permitted home occupations mm-hmm. and we're not enforcing the size of the sign, we are already providing a certain degree of latitude, aren't we?
There is a lot of latitude with this right now. And the decision at hand is to continue to allow that and work through the issues or provide additional guidance in the code.
Well, right now we're just talking about the sign issue, okay. not the main issue, as Craig put it, about the URL themselves.
Right. One more question on this and I'll shut up. Is there a way to create a category of signage where we recognize that there's a type of signage that we'd like to allow in the city that can be posted up to 3 times a year by a particular that you kind of have rights to post it basically on the same frequency that you're allowed to have a yard sale? You can't have the sign continuously present, but it can be intermittently present for not more than so many days in the year.
A commercial sign?
Any sign. If we can't really differentiate between commercial and non-commercial, but we know that there are companies that would just want to slap their signs up all the time if we open a loophole. But if what we create is something that says you can't have your sign up, you can't have a days in the year. Obviously, I think Dan and I are both, maybe I'm not going to speak for Dan, I'm nostalgic for the wayfinding and the ability to allow that signage, but maybe we just have to drop it.
You do speak for me. I'm right on the same page with you, Jason.
But if we can't do it, I'm also with Dan. Just too much slid up. If it means bending over backwards to the point of illegality, it's not that important to me either.
It would take a bit of legal research to see if there's been any sort of a broad ordinance allowing anybody to put up any sign in some zone for whatever purpose it is and limiting it.
I'm not really sure how we would enforce
that. I was also going to think it's going to be entitled to give credit value or raise ordinance. Sounds like there's a lot more enforcement to put into here. I can.
And to repeat, we can't require a date put on signs like this. Right. Because that would be.
A date?
Posting date. You can't require that. Is that because that would be regulating speed?
Well, we could require each of those folks to get a permit. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, we get about 10 sign permits a day. Every other day, come through here. So that would be an incredible volume to a volume that is already pretty wild.
What I'm talking about is you have a yard sale on 8/25. You have to. If we do find a way to allow this kind of temporary sign, and could we require that they post the date that they put the date on the sign that they posted it, so that if we do have a 48-hour limit or something like that, we'd be able to enforce it.
If there are a way to deal with it, but I'll stick to this finite issue. Mm-hmm. A reasonable time restriction is perfectly fine. Just like we have banner regulations, if you put up temporary banners on your business, you can do it. I forget what the change of the ordinance is, but a few times a year, but that's fine.
As part of a permit, I'm asking you, Rich, as part of a permit, can we state, as they're saying, is it an option to put, with your permit, you are allowed X number of signs off location, for a period no longer than these days? Is it something that the permit would allow for? I don't think we can just
open that door, yeah. It's going to explode.
Yeah.
We don't have the ability to enforce what we have now fully.
Right. Wednesday we cleaned out the zoning car because we received our new electric truck and needed to clean the signs out of the old car. And a month and a half worth of signs, it's 263 signs. At this point, most of them are not real estate anymore. When I started, the majority of the signage was real estate. Now it's predominantly yard sales. It will drop off significantly over the next several months, but it will pick right back up as it did. I've been for the beginning of 2 yard sale seasons, and it just jumps.
And all of those are technically illegal now, right?
Correct.
So is there any reason to believe that us passing a regulation is going to diminish the number?
I think the key thing with this that could help, has the potential to help, is creating the education on the front end as opposed to the back end. If someone is having to come in or to contact someone and fill out a sheet of paper saying, I'm having a yard sale, it's going to have the rules on it, and they're informed in advance of what they can do. Very similar to our mall process with vendors. They come in, they fill out the information, they have a list of what the rules are. The rules are provided to them. It is a little more work on the education end in the front, but we feel like on the back end there's potential for less of those concerns because folks are informed about what they can and can't do.
And Missy, just to be clear on your concern about the explosion, your feeling is that if we put this in the regulation and say with your permit you're allowed 4 off-site signs for 48 hours after which you have to take them down, that it's possible that those people might take their signs down, but we've created a legal loophole that will
allow for off-premises signs generally. That's the concern, Jason. I mean, if there was a way to get around that concern, then that would help, but I don't see one because you can't regulate the content of the fines.
But you can refuse to issue the permit if it doesn't, if it's not a yard sale, right?
But it would mean that all signage, if there was a way to attach it to the permit, it would mean that all signage in the city was illegal except for signage permitted in connection with a yard sale.
Do we have a legal definition of yard sale in the zoning ordinance? Do we have a definition of yard sale?
Yeah, I think we
do. So we don't have one for temporary...
Let me just say, I defer to your judgment, but it's a big deal. I share Dan's concerns, and I think if there were a way to do it, there wouldn't be a loophole. It's worth it to try to do that, but if there's not, then I'm fine with just on-site and newspaper listings, and people just don't. We don't condone the signs on the telephone poles.
I mean, realistically, there's the potential that folks get their permit. If there's a permit option, they know that they can't have off-premises signs. They may put them on that day, but they pull them down because they don't want to be fined. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, they just stay there until we pick them up and contact them.
We pick them up and drop off a letter or mail a letter at 263 signs. We sent out 50 letters of those. That's
Do you get a lot of repeat offenders?
No.
You don't?
I don't. And
after you send the letter out,
one of the women that was next door to one of our perpetual offenders, we visited her. She explained this was her first sale with a problem. She said two other sales this summer and has called me both times to ask and asked me, so I can't do anything with signs? No, you cannot legally do anything to put signs off your site. Well, if I put a sign at the end of my street...
That these people would be well behaved. They would actually take their signs down.
90%.
What?
It's like anything else, 90%.
And it's still, I don't...
be well behaved, so this would improve the situation.
Are we talking about signage problems from people who are having regular old mom-and-pop yard sales, or are we talking about signage problems from people who... have the illegal, basically, temporary outdoor sales, or is it both?
Opening the door, it would be right. Anybody.
It's predominantly the people that are just having a one-weekend sale, and, you know, I collected 35 signs from one yard sale one Monday 35? Morning, and they were, you know, throughout the entire city. The ones that are doing it every weekend, it's four or five signs. And, you know, a lot of times, especially the one that had already received the letter saying that they couldn't do this, they were taking their signs back down because they didn't want more evidence against them. Right now, it's just, and enforcement of the signage, it's $100 for the first sign and $250 for each additional sign, up to $5,000. We don't want to take anybody to court for yard sale signs because, one, it seems... very restrictive.
Not a good use of time.
And not a good use of time.
Right.
It's overly punitive. It's going to be thrown out either way.
We don't have to take people to court. Yeah. We can let them do the reasonable thing. But if there's no way to do that legally, then our hands are tied by a poorly interpreted U.S. Constitution.
We've doubled the time that we were originally going to spend on this. So
I'll be very fast.
Maybe we should continue the straw poll.
So I liked where I think Bill was going initially with the idea that there are regulations in place basically for temporary outdoor sales, but you know generally in a flowchart kind of way, there's a property on it. We either observe or have a complaint related to some kind of sale that's going on that. And without definitions in place, I think the action after that is a little bit difficult. But if we have a definition of a temporary outdoor sale or a yard sale, at that point, these sales will fall into one category or the other, one of which we can regulate now, and one of which I don't know that we're necessarily interested in regulating. I'm not in favor of having the mom and pop have to come to City Hall to get a $5 permit for a yard sale and fill out a form. I think it would be good if information was available to them to define what a yard sale was and to make that process for the homeowner easier, not more difficult. But the people who are abusing that definition of yard sale by having temporary outdoor sales that kind of go on even if it happens every other weekend for the whole year, I think we could put them in a category of temporary outdoor sale and then regulate them. They'd have to get the permits, and we could hang them, just tighten up those ordinances related to the temporary outdoor sales. Because I think it, chasing yard sales around, and we got sidebarred on the signage thing, but it's kind of, you know, the big question is, do we want to chase yard sales? And I'm not interested in it.
John?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with both of them. I'm not really interested in pursuing the whole yard sale thing. I do think it's helpful to have, you know, these definitions laid out somewhere so that you can send them to neighborhood associations, you can send them out to the public in the city notes, you can let people know what yard sales are, and then go after the temporary outdoor sales, because that sounds like where the real issue is going to be, other than it's a nuisance to go around and pick up the signs. But again, I also think you can use your neighborhood associations and the rest of the city to let people know, hey guys, you're going to have a yard sale in your neighborhood, make sure you go out and pick up your signs, and if your neighbors aren't picking them up, you know, let's do some of that self-enforcement rather than having the city folks having to do it. I kind of agree with Dan. It kind of feels like, you know, we're in search of a reason to put an ordinance in the place that really doesn't, you know, where's the whole, you know, beef kind of thing. So I don't know. I guess I'd unless we can come up with something that really makes me want to do it, it feels like no.
Can I circle back to one part of what I forgot to mention was the items that you mentioned here for discussion as it, or further study as it related to yard sale permits. I wouldn't be interested in them as much toward yard sales. I'd be interested in those topics toward temporary outdoor sales. And then that may be where you were heading with your research anyway, but just define what the two are, let yard sales occur organically,
yeah,
and moderate the temporary outdoor sales to people who are running businesses and need to be taxed. Mm-hmm.
Bill?
I'm pretty much with Kurt and Don, but I'm going to have to say a couple of foolish things. And one thing that concerns me about the yard sales is that many of the issues are the same ones that would be involved with impacts that having a party at your house. And just somehow it scares me that we're sort of overextending when we get into regulating yard sales. And I want you to have the tools to be able to shut these guys down. They're causing you a problem. And I think if we could pursue it from the way that Kurt and John are suggesting, I'd be a lot more comfortable with it. I'd be totally in support of it.
Okay.
So I'm sort of no on this thing.
Okay, and I'm pretty much of a no too. But we have, this is an it's already been initiated, so it does need to come back to us for resolution. But what I'm seeing is three pretty strong no's. If we can't expand the signage, that it's a no. And John seemed to be in favor of revisiting the definitions. And I could be in favor of that. And there seems to be some interest in looking at temporary outdoor sales. But I think we've been pretty much directed by staff that we could handle that in a matrix. Does everyone else, does that sort of sum up where we are as a group?
Matrix mm-hmm. with definitions? I mean,
the would definition. It be possible to follow through with getting the things defined as part of this ZTA? Getting yard sales and temporary outdoor sales could get an addition to 34,1200.
I believe but 1,200 was, yeah, 1,200 was initiated.
Yeah.
It might actually help address the education piece that Missy's talking about, so we could sort of somehow get as much education in the definition as possible.
Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
What I've got out of this at this point is yard sale definition, temporary outdoor sales definition would not only be helpful, but then the temporary outdoor sales definition would be a great lead into revamping how that is. And additionally, maybe we just need a educational handout, flyer, something.
Yeah. Which I think all was the direction.
All of the yard sale regulations, which is where this was intended to go. permit, you know, the likelihood of a permit coming didn't seem seem that great as we got into it, but I think an educational handout that you know, neighborhood associations, and we could have one here if people do come in and ask, and something that we can email and get out there to the public, perhaps put in city notes. I think education is the number one thing about the signage. You know, that as it's secondary, it's most of the time, oh, I didn't know I couldn't do that because I see 10 signs up every weekend. And
excuse me, Missy, you're adamant that creating a permitting system that actually would allow signage is just a bad idea.
Yes. I don't want us to open that door. It would make their enforcement role much more difficult because it opens the door because of we can't work with content. Mm-hmm. Content is off the table. So, you know, we could get concerns from neighborhoods with, you know, Subway and McDonald's and Burger King posting signs on all of the telephone poles. And if we have something in the ordinance that opens that up, it would be more difficult for us to find those locations for putting signs in if our ordinance isn't as clear as it is now, which is no off-premises signs.
And it's not just yard sales that are the offenders. Today I took down quite a few about a missing cat. And one of the neighborhood associations had posted their website and joined our neighborhood association all over. And this is a neighborhood that is constantly complaining about illegal signage.
We're back to your argument on education.
Yeah, I'll walk away happy if it's taken off the table. And there's just, you know, we know the opinion of the commission now, and a lot of good things have come out of this, regardless of where this goes.
The media is, I mean, just it getting out in the media, maybe mm-hmm. not the message, but some of the aftermath of the calls and comments that we've gotten from individuals about the issue just in general, and people understanding the impacts of it a lot more, I think has been helpful.
Well, it seems like we spent a lot of time on something that might be somewhat silly and frivolous, but it probably affects more people directly than some of the other things that we spend time on. So maybe.
Well, I was just thinking about UVA football weekends. If you drive around Fontaine and JPA and all, there's signs up all over the place about park here, you know, and park there, and they're on telephone poles and everything else. But generally, and maybe it's not the case, but the day or two after that, the signs are down after everybody's gone again. And it seems to me it's like, okay, as long as it's not up there for 3 weeks, you know, but I'm not sure.
The signs are gone there because it's completely illegal to park people on the grass where they park. and a zoning inspector 10 years ago tried to enforce no parking on the grass during football games. Uh-huh. Our regime's policy is it's 7 days out of the year you're going to go crazy trying to regulate something like that.
Yeah. You know? Okay. And that's what some of this seems like is, you know, what's that? Kill ourselves trying to regulate something that may be almost unenforceable. That's what I'm trying to
try. Okay, thanks for taking another look at this and coming back with more data for us and fresh eyes on.